What OHS Insider members need to know for August 2026. Hello and welcome to your August 2026 OHS Insider member briefing. This month's issue is about staying ahead of risks that are easy to underestimate. Some hazards are obvious, others are harder to see. Poor air quality, wildfire smoke, fatigue behind the wheel, infectious illness, domestic violence risk, AI privacy issues, weak incident reporting, and missed machine controls may not always look urgent until something goes wrong. The August newsletter focuses on air quality, the top OHS compliance cases of 2026 so far, summer driving risks, the month in review, case alerts, and infectious illness preparedness. Let's start with air quality. OHS leaders should be monitoring air quality across both outdoor and indoor job sites. Outdoor hazards may include dust from excavation, grading, harvesting, vehicle traffic, demolition, and material handling. Summer also brings wildfire smoke, which can travel long distances and affect workers far from active fires. Industrial workplaces may involve welding fumes, silica dust, diesel exhaust, chemical vapors, solvents, and other airborne contaminants. Indoor workplaces can also create air quality problems through clogged filters, poor HVAC maintenance, excess humidity, mold, inadequate ventilation, overcrowding, and poor air circulation. Air quality is not just about comfort. It affects respiratory health, physical performance, long-term illness risk, and infectious disease transmission. The key action item is monitoring. Outdoor sites should track air quality indexes, weather, temperature, humidity, wind direction, particulate levels, wildfire smoke, and dust-generating work. Indoor sites may need to monitor carbon dioxide, particulates, humidity, ventilation performance, and task-specific contaminants. Once hazards are identified, employers can respond with ventilation maintenance, filtration, dust suppression, traffic control, work schedule changes, relocation of tasks, additional rest breaks, reduced strenuous work, worker training, and respiratory protection where required. The takeaway is simple. You cannot control air hazards you are not measuring. The second issue is the top OHS compliance cases of 2026 so far. The newsletter highlights several cases that show how OHS law is applied in real life. The first major case is the Supreme Court of Canada decision recognizing a new tort for intimate partner violence. This was not an OHS case in the traditional sense, but it matters for employers because intimate partner violence can become a workplace safety issue when it follows a worker into the workplace. The action item is to make sure workplace violence prevention plans include domestic violence risks, warning signs, reporting processes, safety planning, confidentiality, and coordination with HR and security where needed. Another major case involved a large British Columbia penalty for unsafe storage racks. The message is broader than one employer or one province. Any workplace that racks, stacks, piles, or stores materials needs proper installation, inspection, maintenance, and documentation. The action item is to inspect storage racks, confirm they are installed according to manufacturer or engineer instructions, remove damaged racks from service, and train workers to report defects. The third case involves AI-based driver surveillance. A bus company used an AI camera system that collected extensive driver data. The decision found that privacy harms outweighed relatively minor safety improvements and required the company to stop using the system. The takeaway is that technology can support safety, but it does not override privacy obligations. If you use AI, cameras, monitoring, or telematics, define the safety purpose, limit data collection, restrict access, communicate clearly with workers, and avoid using safety technology for unrelated surveillance. The third issue is summer driving risk. Many people think winter is the dangerous driving season, but summer creates its own hazards. Increased traffic, vacation travel, road construction, heat, fatigue, distracted driving, impaired driving, vehicle breakdowns, motorcycles, cyclists, pedestrians, recreational vehicles, and changing traffic patterns all increase risk. This affects more than trucking companies. Construction workers, utility crews, municipal workers, delivery drivers, healthcare and community support workers, field service staff, agricultural workers, landscapers, and employees traveling between job sites may all be exposed. The action items are practical. Drivers should complete pre-trip inspections, check tires, brakes, lights, mirrors, fluids, and air conditioning, plan routes, watch for construction zones, stay hydrated, avoid distractions, manage fatigue, maintain safe following distances, and keep vehicles well maintained. Employers should reinforce defensive driving and treat transportation safety as part of the OHS program, not just a fleet issue. Now let's turn to the month in review. At the federal level, Ebola assessment requirements apply through August 29th for certain travelers entering Canada who have recently been in the Congo, Uganda, or South Sudan. In Alberta, OHS inspectors will conduct focused initiative inspections across many sectors through March 31st, 2027, including construction, restaurants, hotels, daycare centers, steel and metal fabrication, machining, automotive repair, arenas, nail salons, and recreation. In British Columbia, the time loss claims rate increased slightly in 2025 because of rising claims in healthcare and social services and transportation and related services. In Manitoba, proposed regulations would create administrative monetary penalties for failing to report serious incidents. In New Brunswick, WorkSafeNB revised its Safety Achievement Financial Incentive System, which can create surcharges or refunds depending on actual claim costs. In Newfoundland and Labrador, workers diagnosed with psychological injury due to workplace harassment may be eligible for workers' compensation benefits. In the Northwest Territories, proposed legislation would expand presumptive PTSD, cancer, and heart condition coverage for firefighters and first responders. In Ontario, first aid regulation updates took effect, including the requirement that first aid training meet CSA Z1210-24 standards. In Prince Edward Island, domestic violence disclosure legislation received royal assent, but has not yet been proclaimed effective. In Quebec, new workplace sexual violence prevention regulations will require written risk information, training, reporting and complaint procedures, and investigation protocols starting May 27, 2027. In Yukon, administrative monetary penalties for OHS violations are now being implemented, with penalties ranging from $1,000 to $20,000 and public naming of companies that receive penalties. The month in review takeaway is that enforcement, reporting, violence prevention, psychological injury, first aid, and workers' compensation obligations continue to evolve across Canada. The case alerts this month reinforce several lessons. A federal arbitrator upheld a no-drug policy for safety-sensitive airline employees because the policy focused on fitness for duty. The lesson is that safety-sensitive workers must be fit to work safely, and policies should be written around that principle. A lumber company was fined $355,000 after a worker was fatally injured while clearing a blocked photo eye near energized rotating side heads. The lesson is to strengthen machine guarding, energy control, and training for new or inexperienced workers. A prime contractor was fined for confined space violations after a worker was seriously injured. The lesson is that confined space work requires written procedures, training, supervision, and hazard controls before entry. Mining companies and an officer were fined after a fatal helicopter-related fall involving cargo ropes. The lesson is to conduct risk assessments and ensure effective communication for high-risk material handling and remote work. A Quebec arbitrator upheld termination of a worker who repeatedly refused to wear a face mask during COVID. The lesson is that work refusal rights apply to undue danger and compliance with public health guidance matters. The final topic is infectious illness preparedness. Summer can create the false impression that infectious disease risk has passed. In reality, summer is the right time to prepare before fall and winter illness rates rise. OHS leaders should review infectious disease policies, confirm responsibilities, check reporting procedures, replenish PPE, verify cleaning and disinfecting supplies, maintain hand hygiene resources, inspect ventilation systems, plan for isolating ill workers, prepare intensified cleaning protocols, update business continuity plans, and make sure the organization can quickly communicate changing public health guidance. So what should OHS Insider members do this month? Monitor air quality indoors and outdoors. Review workplace violence and domestic violence prevention. Inspect storage racks and high-risk material storage areas. Review AI and monitoring tools for privacy risk. Reinforce summer driving safety. Check jurisdictional updates from the month in review. Strengthen machine guarding, confined space, and material handling controls. And update infectious illness preparedness before the next respiratory illness season. That is the core message for August. The strongest OHS programs do not wait for a wildfire smoke event, a crash, an outbreak, a serious incident, or an inspection. They monitor early, act quickly, document clearly, and adjust before conditions become dangerous. For more details, members can read the full August 2026 OHS Insider newsletter and the complete month in review on OHSinsider.com.